Amen. That God is faithful to his will and his word. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. We're going to ask some help tonight, Brother Brent, Brother John. Amen. Would you help us? Amen. We want to give to the Lord tonight our focus, the word of the Lord. Amen. They're going to hand you a copy tonight of an outline. We're going to be talking about something that is so important in this day and hour that we're in. Amen. It's important that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, I've been with people that, amen, they were raised around this. They were raised and but yet they did not really consider what they had. And they took for granted the things of God. Don't ever, ever get to the place that you just look at as just being church. Amen. This is eternal. Somebody say amen. Amen. We can't ever let this become something that we trade off. Amen. Garage sales, people take great things and put them in a garage sale because it don't mean anything to them. Are they willing to exchange it for something else? For a little money or a little more or something else? I want to talk to somebody today and tell you this great treasure. We need a treasure in this hour. Amen. Jesus is fixing to come. Amen. We're living in a world that is dying and declining, but I have a God that says, amen, I have eternity for you. Hallelujah. Are you thankful God's interested in you tonight? Amen. Praise God. Genesis, the first chapter, you don't have to stand. The Lord began to say in Genesis 1:26, and let us make man in our image after our likeness. When the Lord made man, he made man in his likeness. God said, I want man to always identify as my people, my children, that they could always reflect back to me and say, I belong to him. I want you to think with me today. Amen. When God was creating the world, amen, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. God did not have to reach in a little box and say, I need some thread. I need a sewing machine. He didn't say, no, I need a welding machine or I need this or that. God created by speaking into existence. In the beginning, there was chaos. There was nothing there but darkness. And he said, let there be light. Everybody say it with me. Let there be light. Isn't it amazing that God said, let there be light? And light divided the darkness. Light came. Amen. Then went on and said, let there be land. Let there be, separate the waters. Let there be also all the different provisions of the land. Let there be all these different things. And every time God made something or did something, he said it was good. But I want you to think with me. Amen. When he made all these things, all these powers and things that are necessary. We need land. We need water. We need food. We need the sunshine. We need all these different things. But God said, amen, is good. But there was something better than the good that he had for them. Amen. He created all these things because he had a desire to have a relationship with the masterpiece of his creation called you. God's interested in relating to you and you relating to him. And tonight, amen, I want to just talk to us about, amen, the impact, amen, of your life really determines your intimacy with God. Your intimacy with God determines the impact of your life. I just don't want to live. I want to have an impact. I just don't want to exist. And I just don't want to finish the race. But I want to impact my hour and my generation, but I want to bless my God. I want to fulfill the purpose in my life. And tonight, I put on your notes a definition there. Intimacy with God is that deep, personal fellowship where the soul communes freely with its creator. It's a sacred closeness where God reveals his heart to you. And you respond with love and trust and obedience. And this mirrors exactly what Adam him walk into the garden with God in a pure daily connection. I can't just come and play tag with God. Have y'all ever played tag before in school? We can't play tag with God. We got to be connected with God. Amen. I can't afford to play hide and go seek with God. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they started the game of hide and go seek. No, they went hid. I want you to know tonight, God is not looking to play with us, even the games of life, but God wants a relationship with you so much. God wants so much to work in your life. And the highest priority for your life is that intimacy with him, that communion and connection, amen, where there's that deep, deep relationship and fellowship. That's the reason I cannot afford, and you cannot afford, just to come to church and go through the motions. Sometimes it feels like we go through the motions, doesn't it? Amen. Sometimes you raise your hands and you don't feel, but if you got meaning behind it, amen, you're fulfilling your part. Amen. Because feeling God is his part. And we can feel after God, but for us to feel God, that's got to be him letting us feel him. But when you meaningfully worship God, everybody say with meaning. Your part is to have meaning when you worship. Amen. You worship with your heart, with honor, with a sacred desire that you want to bless God. Your part tonight is to do it with meaning and with sincerity. When you clap your hands, it's easy to do it because everybody else is doing it. And it's kind of like, a little baby don't know why to clap their hands. They just do it because everybody else is doing it. And I don't want to do this because it's just the protocol, but I want to do it because even it honors my God. I want to have meaning behind my worship. And let it be a priority in your life to be real and to have meaning in your life towards God. At the beginning of the journey, any journey, you must set out in the right direction to reach your destination. And this is exactly what God's wonderful purpose for bringing you into the world is all about. To find the life that's worth living. The one that makes the real difference in the world. And you got to understand that you of all people are a special person. What's more, God has a unique and a wonderful plan for you that will provide, amen, that he can provide his love and satisfaction, fulfillment, and significance that you've been looking for. I'm glad tonight that I have a God, amen, that will fulfill my life when I reach with meaning in my life to him. I live because it means something to me to live for God. I just don't do it because I'm expected by my mama or my dad or somebody else, but I do it because I mean it, Lord Jesus. When you raise your hands in church, let it be that you mean it. Lord, I want to bless you. When we pray with meaning. When we say the name of Jesus, we don't say it in vain. When we say it in vain, it's a meaningless thing. But I want to say the name of Jesus with purpose. Amen. Won't you just say that name in love right now to the Lord? Amen. Say that name, Jesus. And won't you tell him, Jesus, I love you. Amen. Come on, put some meaning with it. Lord, I love you. I praise you. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And to find the life that's worth living and one that really makes a difference. You got to understand that you're a special person. God has a unique plan for you. And true success in the eyes of God is not measured in terms of wealth and accomplishments or popularity. Some of the richest and the most talented and the best known people in the world have little or no impact. Meanwhile, there's others that may have limitations, that may not have all the talents everybody else. They can't even sing, make a tune in a bucket, they used to say. But if you got a relationship with God, you got something that is valuable. You got something that's great. You got something that is real. And you have something powerful. And it's one's relationship with God and obedience to him that will determine their true impact. Have you ever wondered what motivated God to design this great universe? Why did he create you? It was a desire to be loved, pure and simple. Even before the world began, God wanted you and he chose you. Amen. That he could love you. Therefore, we need to make it a high priority. Amen. To be all we could be for Jesus. First of all, tonight, you were made in God's image. Amen. Because there's a capacity in your life for fellowship. And without that commonality of you relating to God as your father and you're his child, amen, you would have no connection. But folks, I'm thankful that God not only became was my creator, my God became my savior. Jesus Christ didn't say, oh, you're just out there, but he died for you and I. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Amen. And it's hard for some people to realize that my God's big enough to answer your prayer, my prayer, and somebody else's prayer at the same time. Amen. God had you in mind. And you tonight in this place, the depth of your relationship with God will determine the impact of your life. But God measures impact, listen carefully, through relationship, through character, and your obedience to him. Amen. Oh, it's not by worldly fame. It's not by how well you look, amen, in a sense of having it all together according to the standards of the world, but your character and your relationship with him. I want to say, first of all, God wants you to succeed. God don't want anybody to become a loser, but he wants you to succeed first and foremost, and he wants you to succeed with a relationship. Isn't it amazing that God wants to work through your life? He wants to touch souls through your life. He wants to work in through your life, and that you could be a channel and a vessel for his kingdom. Amen. You have a purpose. And when your relationship with God is strong, it's amazing that you'll find that his passion, amen, begins to work through you, and God begins to help you. But we're going to get to that place where it takes a willing surrender. I want you to understand with me about a surrender tonight. You experience God's love when you willfully surrender and willingly surrender to his call. And when you finally say, God, I give up. You know, surrender is a loaded word. In military terms, it means all is lost. When somebody surrenders, that means it's lost. But in spiritual terms, it means all is gained. You'll never have victory till you learn how to surrender. And to surrender to God is to let go of the steering wheel of your life and entrust the direction to the one who not only designed the car, but also plotted the course. And when you surrender control to God, you gain a place with God. Amen. There's true confidence and faith that God's going to lead you through. How many's ever had a big, bad trial before? A trial in your life that you thought, well, I may as well throw in the towel. I may as well give up. I may as well just say, there's no hope. But you kept on keeping on in spite of the trial. Even though you had options to go do other things, you said, no, I will keep myself because God is my purpose. And you gave God the battle. You gave God your life. You gave God the problem. And God came through for you. And there's three reasons why God seeks your surrender. Why does God want to surrender? The first one, he loves you and desires your fellowship and your worship. And as long as you hold something back, you can't know him fully or experience the depth of his love. But when you surrender all that you have and all you are to him, you receive all of him. Isn't that great? You got to receive all you have and all you are. I used to love to tell the story about the old Indian coming to the altar. I heard it all my life. And Brother Dwayne, the Indian came to the altar, and he was seeking for the Holy Ghost. And some people say this story is politically incorrect. No, amen, it's not. It's still correct. He came to the altar, and he wanted the Holy Ghost so bad. And he left there without it. The next night of the revival, he came, and he realized when you come to the altar, you got to leave something on that altar. So that night, he left his bow and arrows on the altar. They meant something to him. And he went out. The next night he come to church. Still didn't receive the Holy Ghost. And he came to the altar and he said, you don't want the Holy Ghost so bad. So he reached over there and he took his war bonnet off. And lady on the altar, still didn't receive the Holy Ghost. The next night he come to church. And he had a buffalo robe that he carried with him. And he laid it on the altar, still didn't receive the Holy Ghost. This went on, and finally he laid his moccasins. He had to leave the church barefooted, without a robe, without a war bonnet, without bow and arrow. The next night he laid his tomahawk on the altar, and on, to finally he had nothing else to give, and he laid himself on the altar. And when he did, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. That's the old story I heard all my life. God just don't want what you have. God wants who you are. Amen. He loves you, but you got to give all you are and everything you have. The second reason why he wants to surrender, he wants your service to be effective and fruitful. Regardless of your circumstances and limitations, the more you love Jesus and serve him where he's called you and positioned you, the more effectively you will be. The closer you draw to God, the more impacting your life will be. The more intentionally you nurture your relationship with God, the greater the positive mark you're going to leave behind. Amen. What kind of mark are you going to leave? Amen. Oh, friend, I've been places where people had talent. I went to school with people that could get up and sing. And I mean, whoa, they had it together. And I went to school with people that got up and preached and blew everybody's mind. But you know, amen, today they're nowhere to be found. Sister Sherry, you went to school with those type, didn't you? Brother Zach and Sister Mailey, you went to Bible college with those kind. Isabel, you're going to school with some of those. And they may have it together, but they've learned how to perform and they've learned how to just woo the crowd. But hear me, saint of God, any individual, young lady, young man, grandma, grandpa, God wants not just your war bonnet tonight. God wants everything you have, and he wants you to be effective. He wants you to have a relationship, even leave a positive mark. Somebody that loves God, somebody that is all they can be for God. The next thing God wants is the freedom to bless you. That's the reason why he wants you to surrender. God is omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He will not violate his own principles. He draws you to himself so you can experience his love and forgiveness. And he asks you for willing surrender so he can give you the best blessings he has to offer. Amen. God has his best for you tonight. God has his best for your life. Amen. I just don't want just anything. Amen. God has his best for you. Amen. Praise God. Now, you know as well as myself, many times we resist. We resist the things of God. We resist yielding to God. We resist. And resistance is foolish. Amen. If God loves you more than anybody else, and if he knows you better than anybody else, what will bring you ultimate joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment? Why shouldn't you? Why resist or surrender to God? Why would anybody refuse to give themselves completely to the one who wants to bless them? You know, and you hear me say, pride will take you for a ride. Pride is one of the most common reasons some people keep the brake on and don't surrender to God. Many people flatter themselves and think that they know more than God. And this is the big deal. When you think you can manage your life, you think you can manage your life more effectively without God, you are an idiot. Others choose not to surrender because they fear what God's going to do for them, or God's not going to do for them. They're afraid God's going to, God will make me look like an idiot, or God will send me somewhere I don't want to go. They assume that God's going to force them to do something miserable. Still others resist because they believe Satan's lies. Somebody say he's still a liar.
He's still a liar.
And if he can get you to believe a lie, he will get you to hinder the thing that God has for you. And the enemy says, you know, God is judgmental. He only wants to punish you. Wow. All this is completely false. God always wants and has your best interests at heart. The scripture says in Romans 8:32, I think it is, he will withhold no good thing from us. To those that gladly submit to his will, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. And he said, to give you a future of hope. Jeremiah said this, and I want somebody to realize tonight, it does make sense to surrender to God. And when you surrender yourself to God, amen, it will make an impact on this world. Amen. The next thing, we got to live the principle out of surrendering. Let God have his way. We've got to be intimate with God. How do you do that? How do you live this? Amen. Remember, you were created for a deep fellowship with God. And the impact of your relationship with him cannot be overstated. His highest priority for you is to be involved with him. Through, well, you hear it over and over, prayer, his word, and a life of dedication of worship and praise. Amen. I'm going to ask a question. Do you worship God outside of church? Do you worship God outside of church? That's actually the third time because I wanted to pound it. Do you worship God outside of church? Well, of course, I don't have a piano at home. You know, I can't sing without a piano. You know, no. Worship has nothing to do with a piano. Worship has nothing to do. That's praise. Worship is how you live your life and conduct your life. How you conduct yourself. Amen. Worship may involve saying no to some things. If you're not a worshiper, the Bible says the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh. John 4:24 now. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm telling you tonight, God is looking for those that will worship him. Amen. That will not have to have these things. Amen. I remember running to somebody one time, and they were so concerned because they felt like they had to have a production. They wanted to sing at a church, but they were more concerned about the production. And I told them, I said, what would happen if you was on a foreign field and you didn't have all that mess? I mean, you got to have it this way. What about his way? What about that jailhouse, Brother Zach? When we go to jail, I mean, we don't even have a piano player sometimes. What about the nursing home sometimes? Can we have a move of the Holy Ghost elsewhere? Thank God for there's times in the car, in the shower, at my house, on my bed, in my recliner. There's sometimes I feel the presence of God and I worship and I commune with God and I praise God other than just in the church. God wants a relationship. He wants you to apply some things. He wants fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. God wants communion. He wants a deep, deep, deep closeness of your heart to him. Amen. And he will make a difference in your world. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the impact that God makes is a lasting, eternal, amen, impact that just keeps on keeping on. Amen. Not only does God do it in you, but God does it through you. When God starts impacting you, you won't be able to contain it. It's going to work through you, through your life. As you spend time with God and get to know him more, amen, immediately there's going to be evidence in your life that will flow right through you. And people are going to see and know, and they're going to want you to pray for them. They're going to want you, amen, to pray. Today, where's Brother Atkins at? Brother Atkins, amen, we got through eating today, and all of a sudden I turn around, and there's a lady and a young lady eating. They're sitting across them. They've been to this church before. And we greeted them, we were visiting with them, and before we got through, this young lady said, Brother Crosswood, I need you to pray for my boy. And she began to talk to him. She said, it is more than a mental problem that he has. There's a spiritual problem. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, you can't cast out a mental spirit by just saying, well, let's give him some more medicine. You can't dope it down. We see it at the jail. I don't care how much dope they give them. They could throw them across the room. You can't dope some things out of a person. It still takes the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is what this little mama said. My son is violent. There's things that are not just mental problems. He's been diagnosed with everything. And she named it. I mean, and she said, he needs a work of the Holy Ghost, the work of God. I'm telling you, some things doesn't come by other things. Amen. They tried everything to subdue and to contain the demoniac. They tried chains. They tried this. It still takes the power of God to tame somebody. Mm-hmm. And it takes God in your life. Why not give God the reins? Amen. Don't try it your way. So tonight you need to ask yourself some serious questions. What impact, if any, am I having on the world around me? When your children, those of you that are older, you have children that are not in church when they come to your house. Do they see daddy as a compromiser? Because, I mean, daddy, you know, is easy to be swayed in a conversation. They get daddy to talk about, but what about you? Amen, sister, are you easily persuaded by somebody in the conversation? They pull you in a conversation and you start talking about somebody and they're right there smiling in their brains and she don't have too much or he don't have to. Look what they're doing. They're talking about somebody. They're gossiping about somebody and they pull you in a conversation. You know what I want to tell you? When you have the power of the Lord inside of it, you're going to be able to resist and you're going to have some insight that says no. No, we don't do that. Amen. Don't you want power to say no? Don't you want power to say yes to God? You'll never have power to say no till you have power to say yes to God. So, all right, am I impacting my world? The next, if my impact seems small or my life feels lacking in meaning, what is the state of my relationship with God? If there's no meaning, if you have no meaning behind it, what is the state of your relationship? Is it strong and vibrant? Or are you letting the things get in your way? And ask yourself, what can I eliminate to deepen my intimacy with God? What can I stop doing and eliminate to get closer to God? And what steps can I take to restore closeness with God? If you've fallen from certain things, you had a relationship, what can you do to get back with God? Brother Dwayne will tell you, he's been out there, and he's trying to make steps to get back to God. He's trying to get back. You know what he told me? I'm looking for a home. I'm looking where I can get back to where I need to be with God. It doesn't just take one night. Amen. Y'all know that. Amen. You got to fight some things off the moment you take a step towards God. Every hand and every hound of the devil is after your heart. Amen. You got to know how to yield the sword and pick up the shield. And you got to have to fight some things off because the devil's not pleased when somebody makes a step towards God. Praise God. If that happens to a backslider that's trying to come back, I'm telling you, it happens to people that feel like they're in church and they're getting cold and carnal and the enemy just keeps on pulling them into the drift. Amen. Oh, friend, we need to spend time with God and ask him to draw us to him. I want you to remember God still loves you and desires fellowship with you. God wants your service to be effective and fruitful. He wants your life not to just be one that comes to church. God wants you to be real. He wants you to have meaning, but he wants to use you as a mighty tool. And God waits for you to invite him to bless you and to bless, put his blessings through your life. I want to just share with you this tonight that I read about. There was a farmer, and he was a very humble man. His name was Samuel, and he lived in a little small rural village. And every Sunday, he would be found in the front pew of that little church, his Bible in his hand, his face lifted in worship. And he wasn't wealthy, nor did he have much formal education, but Samuel had something that stood out. He had a steadfastness in his faith towards God. And through the years of drought, floods, failed crops, Samuel never stopped sowing. Neighbors mocked him. Some gave up farming altogether, but others compromised their values to survive. Some of them start cheat with the cotton weights, and they cheated. When they would go to the market, it's kind of like the man... When I was a kid, you would sell pecans too, and he would put his thumb on the scale. Hey, it's still wrong to cheat. Boy, I got some amens. It's still wrong to cheat. It's still a sin to lie. It's still wrong to cheat. Come on, I gotta get more than that. It's still wrong to cheat.
Amen.
It's still wrong to steal.
Amen.
It's still wrong to lie.
Amen.
So, Mr. Samuel, when it came time, all his neighbors said, "Oh, why don't you just cheat? Why don't you just, you know, bribe the officials?" Samuel wouldn't budge. He said, "The Lord's my provider." And he said, "I'm gonna do what's right. I'm gonna sow what's right as long as the seed is in my hand." And 1 year, especially, it was a very harsh year. This drought was so severe that most farmers didn't even bother planting. But Samuel, faithful as ever, plowed his old field. And people said, "Man, you're crazy. It's too dry." He said, "No, I got to do what I know what to do." He scattered what little seed he had left. And everybody said, "You're wasting your time, Samuel." But something unexpected happened. All the other fields in that area was not even plowed. They thought it's just too dry. A thunderstorm rolled through and began to rain in that area. Just enough to water, guess what, the field of old Samuel. His crop was the only one that grew in that region. And that harvest was not only one that sustained him, but he allowed other people to share. He started helping his neighbors. Word spread. And a simple act of obedience became a testimony. Years later, the story goes that a young man in the village, he came back home after being gone, and he said, "You know, I'm a pastor of a church. The reason why is because there was a man that farmed here named Samuel who always sowed, trusting God, and was faithful. And he said, I watched my family cheat, steal, lie, fudge. We watched this man always do what was right. And he said, when I got away from here, in my mind, when I thought about Jesus, I always seen Samuel, that old farmer, as a great representative, and I wanted to be like that."
Amen.
The moral is, faithfulness to God doesn't always bring instant rewards, but it always brings everlasting fruit. Sometimes the greatest impact of our obedience is not what we receive, but who's in charge of what we have already. Are you thankful that Jesus is in charge tonight?
Amen.
I heard of a story also of a young lady named Angela. She worked as an accountant in a large corporation, and over the years, she quietly built a reputation for honesty and diligence and a strong character. She never cut corners and always refused to adjust numbers when somebody asked her to make the company look good on paper. And one day her supervisor approached her with a simple request to hide a few liabilities before the upcoming audit. And they said, "It's just business. And we'll fix it later. You want to move up in the company, don't you?" And Angela respectfully refused. She said, "I can't compromise my integrity first. I can't compromise my faith." The pressure became intense. She was passed over for many promotions, and rumors circulated that she wasn't a team player. Her peers avoided her, and for a while it looked like her commitment to be righteous was costing her everything. But years later, the company came under federal investigation for financial fraud. Several executives were indicted, including Angela's former supervisor. And amidst the scandal, Angela's record stood clean. And because of her integrity, she was not only spared from legal trouble, but she was promoted and placed in charge of rebuilding the company's accounting department. And more importantly, several of her co-workers came to her privately and said, "You're the only one who did what is right. Can you tell me more about your faith in God?" I want to tell somebody, faithfulness to God may cost you something now, but it would never cost you more than unfaithfulness will in the long run.
Amen.
Obedience builds a life God can bless and God can use as a witness before the people. Hudson Taylor said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And faithfulness in little things, Corrie ten Boone said, is a big thing. Oswald Chambers said, faithfulness to Jesus means you trust what he says, even when it don't make sense to you. Are you thankful tonight for the goodness of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. The true follower of Jesus will not ask if it embraces this truth, what will it cost me? Rather, he said, this is truth. God, help me to walk in it. Let come what may. Many people reason why they don't want to follow God. Reason why they don't want to comply. Because it costs them something they don't want to pay. Tonight, amen, I want to say yes to God. Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, God will impact your world when you really mean it in your relationship with the Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you put everything aside right now? Amen. If you're holding something, amen, there's something in your lap or in your hands, and I want you to lift your hands to Jesus right now. Amen. Nobody else could do you praying for you. We could pray for you, but I can't do yours. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord tonight. Amen. It really matters tonight what you live and how you live in your relationship. Lord, I love you, and I reach to you tonight, God, in faith. God, help me, Lord Jesus, to live for you, to be for you, to give to you, God, to worship you, God, to say yes to you. Help me, oh God, to lean on God, your word, and believe you for your word's sake. Help me, God, even in my unbelief and my troubles and my weaknesses, Lord, to follow your spirit, Lord Jesus, to learn of you. Help me, oh God, to follow you, God, even when the pressure's on me to follow something else and to do what the world is pressuring me to do, what I'm expected to do by my peers and friends when it goes against you, Lord. Help me to stand faithful. Help me to do what's right, Lord, when nobody's looking, Lord Jesus. Help me, oh God, when I'm spiteful, when I want to do something just in spite, when it displeases you, Lord, help me to keep my soul ready, Lord Jesus, to follow you and to be what you call me to be. I love you and I thank you tonight, Jesus, for the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting truth matter to me tonight and let it mean something to my soul. I give you praise and I give you honor. Amen. In Jesus' name, stand with me. Amen. It does matter. It does matter. It does matter.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it matters. Look at somebody else and say, it matters.
It matters.
What matters to God really matters.
Amen.
What matters to God really matters. I have people say, well, I just don't feel that. I don't see it that way. You know, if it matters to God, it don't matter what you feel. I have people argue and say, well, I don't see it. It's a crazy thing how people become great theologians that don't have a prayer life. They become, instant theologians where God puts a shepherd over you and the shepherd begins to say, no. And they say, who are you? How dare can you execute that and, as a pastor and say that? Well, how dare can you all of a sudden say, I don't feel that when you don't even know what the voice and the plan of God is. This book matters.
That's right.
This book matters. The things of God matters. This is not something even to debate. When God says it, it is law.
That's right.
When God says it, who are we to say, I don't feel that. That really, you know, means that. When it's real. The law of God is complete.
Amen.
Who are we to say it don't matter? Amen. When it really does matter. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it always, God, be important to me to follow your voice, your word, and Lord, your plan in my life. I praise you tonight, Jesus. Help me to be all I could be and to live what you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to heaven, how? God bless you tonight. Amen.